Will you join me praying Psalm 23? Lord, you are our shepherd. You are God of the universe. You spoke a word, and our world came into being. And yet, you know each one of us personally, how great you are, indescribable. Your grace is astronomical. Lord, you are our shepherd. We lack for nothing. We are filled with wants as we are impacted by our media and culture, but only you can meet our heart's greatest need, that is, to know you. You are faithful and have not forgotten us. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, you are our shepherd. You make us lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside quiet waters. You restore our souls. Our lives are pulled by sin and we live with guilt and shame, but you lifted us from that at the cross and restored our relationship with you. Lord, you are our shepherd. You lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. You not only restore our relationship with you, but then you clean us up through your Holy Spirit and send us out to serve you. Thank you for ministries, pastors, volunteers, leaders, and teachers who help us to grow in our faith and understand how to live for you. Lord, you are our shepherd. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for you are with us. We are broken and with messy lives. We are disappointed in relationships, unhappy at work, unable to find jobs, have serious health issues, or struggle at school. Perhaps we're mourning. We live frenetically busy lives and find little rest. We see the effects of sin in our city, state, country, and the world. We hear of shootings, stabbings, bombings, both here and abroad. There are persecuted churches around the world. We live under enemy assault, but we fear no evil because your power and justice are greater than the evil one. We ask for protection from evil and to be filled with your Holy Spirit so that we can live in love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, and self-control that the Spirit gives. We can confess our sins and be reassured of your waiting arms of love, because you are our shepherd. Lord, you are our shepherd. Your rod and staff comfort us. We can depend on you to protect us from the evil one. Speak to those of us who need to experience your comfort this morning. Lead and guide us into your will. Lord, you are our shepherd. You provide a table in the presence of our enemies. We can declare victory over our enemies and sin with the authority given to us by Jesus. Lord, you are our shepherd. You anoint our heads with oil. Holy Spirit, breathe on us the breath of life. Your Holy Spirit soothes, restores, and cleanses us as the warm oil of your Spirit's work pours into our souls. Lord, you are our shepherd. Our cup overflows. We recognize with gratitude that this church has been placed in this neighborhood for your purpose. We desire to be a grateful church. We pray for your Spirit's wisdom to guide us as we approach a church meeting of importance on November 11. We also pray for your favor on the Great Lakes Prayer Summit in November. With gratitude, we acknowledge these opportunities. Lord, you are our shepherd. Surely goodness and love will follow all of our days, and we will live in the house of the Lord forever. Show us, gentle shepherd, how to practice your presence. Help us to worship with our whole hearts and be committed to living in your presence, knowing that someday we will live with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
here? Did you know there's a clock taped to this thing right here? Never noticed that before. We're going to open our Bibles. It's my understanding that it's going to be up on the screen behind me, but if you'd like to grab a Bible, there are some on the back table as well. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Give you a minute to see that. There it is. All right, starting at verse 11, John 10, and this is, starting chapter 10, verse 11, and this is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. I've never met a real-life shepherd. I've met plenty of farmers. I've met some ranchers and even a few cowboys. But never a shepherd. I know that there are shepherds in the world today. I know that in some countries they still acknowledge that as a very vital occupation. But for me, and I suspect for many of us, the word shepherd is primarily a biblical idea. The word shepherd brings to mind the great stories that we first heard in Sunday school. Abel was a shepherd. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were shepherds. Moses tended the flocks of his wife's father in Midian. And who can forget David, who fought off wild animals to protect the sheep that were in his care? In fact, it's from David that we inherit perhaps the most well-known passage in Scripture, Psalm 23. Now, some of you may have recognized we use the words of that psalm in the prayer that we just prayed together. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, I once heard a story about a country church that had chosen this shepherd's psalm as the theme passage to mark its 50th anniversary. As part of the celebration, two men had agreed to recite this psalm for the congregation. The first was a well-known professor from a nearby college. In high demand, he regularly accepted invitations to speak at schools and universities across the country. The second was a founding member of the church. Now well into his 80s, he was known as a very quiet man who kept mostly to himself. In fact, most people of the congregation were a little bit surprised that he had even agreed to do this. But when the evening of the celebration arrived, both men were there, seated on the stage. The college professor, the gifted orator, approached the podium first. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He delivered the psalm powerfully. His voice rose and fell, perfectly communicating both reverence and confidence. His gestures were choreographed with precision. And when he finished, the applause from the congregation led to a standing ovation. Some even yelled, "Encore!" The orator smiled, bowed, and returned to his seat. When the old man's turn came, he slowly lifted himself out of the chair and stood before the gathered people. Speaking in a soft and shaky voice, he began, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." As he recited the psalm, tears started to form in his eyes. When he got to the phrase, "He restores my soul," he had to stop. Tears started running down his cheeks. But then he gathered himself and pressed on to the end. The congregation noticed that he changed the last verse a little, but no one really faulted him for it. "Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. And soon I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As the old man finished, the crowd sat in silent reflection. There was no applause here. And after a few awkward moments, the college professor walked up to the old man, put his arms around him. He turned to the crowd and said, "As my friend here recited these words, I realized that there is a huge difference between the two of us. I know the song, but this man knows the shepherd." And that is the question that I want to put before you this morning. Do you know the shepherd? The passage we read in John begins with Jesus making a bold claim. "I am the good shepherd." This phrase, even standing by itself, is loaded with meaning. Readers of the Greek language notice that the gospel writer John emphasizes the word "I" in this phrase. If we were to read it literally, we would actually read it twice. I am the good shepherd. Great care is taken to communicate that Jesus is making this claim about himself. He says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus doesn't just claim to be a good shepherd, but the good shepherd. And to some who heard these words, a prophet from Ezekiel, a prophecy from Ezekiel would have echoed from the past. "For thus says the Lord, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among the scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness." That comes from Ezekiel 34, verses 11 and 12. Do you see why this claim of Jesus is so significant? Only God Himself is the good shepherd. And we imagine these people who first heard this pondering, could this man Jesus, who has the power to restore sight to the blind, who teaches all these strange and wonderful things, and who dares make these bold claims, Could this man, Jesus, be the fulfillment of a divine promise? You see, in that time, the people of Israel were people waiting for a true shepherd. The people of Israel were waiting for the good shepherd to come and restore shalom, wholeness. The good shepherd who would come and make things right in the world. Now it's true, there was no lack of religious leaders who were performing the task of shepherding the people. But commentators agree that it's these very religious leaders that Jesus refers to as hirelings or hired hands who did not really care about the sheep. But we shouldn't be too quick to condemn. These religious leaders, the hirelings, are not really accused of being wicked or evil in this passage. At least not this one. Rather, they are simply more concerned about their own well-being than the well-being of the sheep. And besides, no one but the true shepherd could accomplish the work that needed to be done. This work that would restore the relationship between God and His people. You see, the work of the Good Shepherd is unique in all of history. And what is the work, the task, the mission of the Good Shepherd? What did the Son of God come here to accomplish? The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. This is pretty important. Jesus says this in verse 11, verse 15, verse 17, and twice in verse 18. The reality that Jesus lays down His life for His people is not only the unifying theme in this passage, but stands at the very heart of the gospel itself. These verses are teaching us about what theologians call atonement. We recognize this laying down as Jesus' voluntary death on the cross, His single greatest gift to the world. Jesus took the sin and death of all of His people upon Himself and became the one great and final sacrifice of all time. That is the idea of atonement. Quoting Dale Bruner, Jesus' cross did not merely show the world the love of God, which is true, or even show the devil the door, which is also true. But His cross took away from God's presence the deep sin of the world, making the world and God at one. The very meaning of atonement. And this fact, whether they knew it or not, was what the people of Israel had waited so long for. A shepherd, the shepherd, that loved His people so fiercely that He was ready and willing to die for them. And so we return to the big question. Do you know the shepherd? Does this metaphor, this image of Jesus as the good shepherd, resonate with you? Now let me warn you, in a sense, pointing to someone as our shepherd implies that we consider ourselves sheep. Let's face it, in our culture, referring to people as sheep would not come across as a compliment. We live in a world where submission to authority has gone out of style. Instead, we are taught from an early age to question and criticize those that God has put above us. These days, to acknowledge any authority higher than ourselves seems almost un-American. And because to some extent we are all products of our culture, Identifying with sheep immediately rubs most of us the wrong way. But I would argue that it is precisely this fact that shows us that we actually are very close to sheep. Deep down, we know that this is close to the truth. I got a kick out of it reading Martin Luther's sermon on this passage. In it, he writes, "Sheep, you know, are most foolish and stupid animals. When we want to speak of anybody's stupidity, we say, he is a sheep. But hang with it. Nonetheless, it has this trait above all other animals, that it soon learns to heed its shepherd's voice and will follow no one but its shepherd. And though it cannot help and keep and heal itself, nor guard itself against the wolf, but is dependent upon others, yet it always knows enough to keep close to its shepherd and look to him for help." So let's be truly honest with ourselves and with each other this morning. We are like sheep. We can't do it alone. Deep down, we all yearn for someone stronger and wiser to take care of us. We need a good shepherd. As my mentor Neil Plantinga once said, "Those of us who were raised in solid and good homes carry the memory of how delicious it was to be tucked into our cozy beds at night without worries that would threaten our rest. Awash in the knowledge that someone else was in charge, we allowed ourselves to slip over the edge of slumber the way only a child can." Isn't that beautiful? Do you remember that? Do you remember those feelings? As adults, we carry that memory in our subconscious, and we long for something like it again. We desire it even more powerfully because now, as grown-ups, we know what it's like to live without security. We know what it's like to experience loved ones passing away. We know what it's like to wait for test results from the oncologist. We know what it's like to see friends and family engaged in behaviors that are self-destructive. And in this way, when it comes down to it, we are just like the people that Jesus first spoke these words to. Our troubles are the same. We are all both victims and perpetrators of sin and evil. We live in desperate need of atonement, at one-ment with God. We are all sheep in need of a shepherd. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a good news message for us today. We spoke about atonement. The Good Shepherd was not only willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Our Savior Jesus Christ was not only willing to lay down his life for his people, but he did just that for the purpose of restoring our relationship with God. In verses 14 and 15, Jesus tells us just what this means. "I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." You notice how the language shifts here from work to family, from pasture to home. This is language of familiarity, friendship, and intimacy. And we know from other other passages in John's Gospel, the close relationship between God the Father and God the Son. Think of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus here tells us that He already has a comparable relationship to us. Can you believe that? Do you know the Shepherd? Isn't it a wonder that Jesus claims to know us, each one of us, individually? We wish we knew this fact so much better, and we're able to rest so much more in it. And nevertheless, we are grateful and blessed that our Savior considers our groping prayers and thoughts toward Him to be an actual knowledge of Him. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laid down His life to take away our sin and bring us into His flock, His family, what the Apostles' Creed calls the Holy Catholic Church. But we know that the cross is not the end of the story, don't we? Verse 17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again." Jesus' sacrificial atoning death was not an end in itself, and His resurrection some sort of afterthought. His death was with the resurrection in view. He died in order to rise, and by His rising to proceed to His ultimate glorification and the pouring out of His Holy Spirit so that we too might live. The good news this morning is not just the cross, but the resurrection as well. Jesus' death was not an accident. We learn here that this was God's plan to redeem His people from the very beginning. Not only did the Good Shepherd die for His sheep, with authority from God the Father, Jesus took up His life again to shepherd His sheep for all eternity. Now, in closing, I'd like to read responsively question and answer 54 from the Heidelberg Catechism. This is a question that talks about the flock, God's family, the Holy Catholic Church. I'll read the question and we'll read the answer together. And I want to encourage you, let this sink in to your minds and hearts. Make this response your own response. Question 54 of the Heidelberg Catechism asks, "What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church?" And the answer? That the Son of God, from the beginning up to the end of the world, gathers, defends, and preserves to Himself, by His Spirit and Word, out of the whole human race, a church chosen to everlasting life, agreeing in true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. And of this community, I am and always will be a living member. Do you know the Shepherd? Be assured that you wouldn't be here this morning if you weren't seeking Him out. Be assured this morning that you wouldn't be here if the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, hadn't sought you out first. Amen. After the service, I'm going to stay here at the front, and some others are going to join me. If any of you want to make a commitment to Christ this morning, if any of you want to recommit your lives to Jesus Christ this morning, I would encourage you to come and talk to us. If you have questions or concerns about your own salvation, or if you just want to know more about Jesus Christ, your Good Shepherd, please come forward. We'd love to talk with you. And if you want to be prayed for, prayed with, prayed over, we want to serve you in that way as well after the service. So let's pray in closing.